Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Patty Greer, and for those of you who were expecting someone else, I have to tell you that Patty kindly agreed at very short notice to come onto the programme, for which I'm extremely grateful. If you haven't heard of Patty before, she is very much into crop circles, UFOs and ETs, and she's just made another movie. It's called Crop Circles 2010 Update, The Wake Up Call. And she tells us it's just premiered at the 2010 International UFO Congress Convention and won 2 EBE Awards. So we're hoping to have a very good interview with Patty about her interest. So welcome to the programme, Patty.
Thank you. It's so nice to meet you finally.
Oh dear, you knew about me before, did you?
Well, I was invited to a mysterious weekend in Denver that was invites only, and it seemed like your writings were in everybody's laps.
Oh dear. I didn't know that.
It was a year ago I was introduced to your work, and it's always wonderful to meet people that are doing the great work on the planet that you are. Thank you.
Well, it's very kind of you, and certainly in your own way, you're doing a terrific lot by making these movies. And I'm interested to learn that you were, and maybe you still are, a professional musician until the day, you tell us, you laid in the centre of a UK crop circle. But you did get some response. You felt a presence and saw things that you had never seen before. So that's probably a good place to start, Patty. Tell us how that came about and what effect that had on you.
Well, your question about playing music, I barely play anymore. I hurt my hands 5 or 6 years ago. I've been a harpist forever, and I played on organic strings for over 30 years. 5, 6 years ago, I bought this darling little harp with synthetic fluorocarbon strings that throw rainbows in the right light on stage, and they poison my fingertips. I don't know what I've done to my hands, but still today's a 6th Band-Aid day. It's not a good day on my hands, but the interesting thing about having a piece of your body that you're so used to using and relating your identity to, I'm only 6 years out of it now, so I'm breathing again, but it's been a haul of overhauling and changing my entire identity, reality, and the way I view the world. And I had to pull myself out of life because I couldn't touch anything. It's been a pretty shocking shift. And I was playing really great shows. I mean, I was a regular performer on my harp and piano, and it was my life. So in desperation, after trying $20,000 worth of American Western doctors, acupuncture, all kinds of different remedies of healing, it seemed like something needed to give me a message stronger than, we're not going to let you heal this right now. I don't know what it was, but something drew me directly to England, to the crop circles. And I went over there to heal because I had pretty much given up on this world healing me. And so laying in a crop circle in 2007 and then spending 9 weeks from that day forward without leaving the crop circles, I experienced amazing things with the energies over there, and there's no doubt in my mind that they are not being made by humans. Many of them might be, some of them, I shouldn't say many, some of the meager ones might be, but there are so many phenomenal ones that you cannot believe the meticulous nature. It's like hair brushed, but we're talking about wheat or barley, and it's brushed tens of thousands of hairs in perfect divine order, side by side, some standing, some laying, but every one of them knows where to go. And they've happened in seconds. You know, I have footage in 2 of my movies of a gentleman that at 5 a.m. was awakened by the sound of the balls of light in England, and he was one of the very few people in history to push play on his camera. So he got this amazing footage of 2 balls of light coming over a field of wheat, and it lays down in a heartbeat. 6 circles and a center circle. It's either 5 or 6. I'm not looking at it, but it's an amazingly quick happening that he caught on film. Millions of people have looked at it. Half the world is astounded because it's so great. The other half is, of course, debunking and saying, oh, it's, you know, done in Photoshop, whatever. But I brought this footage home, I was a brand new crappie. I had never made a movie in my life, thought about it, wasn't even interested. It never crossed my mind to make a movie. But I started taking, after that day of laying in the crop circle, an insurmountable number of photographs of crop circles. I had 1,100 photos within 2 to 3 weeks, which is not breathing very much. It's pretty much staying behind a lens and shooting. I was in little airplanes, and it was windy and rainy, no doors on, and I could not believe what I was shooting. It was so magnificent. But my seatbelt was like kind of a belt wrapped around your pants. I'm thinking, I'm at 3,000 feet. This is all I have holding me in. And it's windy and it's rainy, and I'm thinking, what on earth could make me be doing this right now? This is nuts. So I came home, I looked at the footage, and all of a sudden I grabbed this famous two balls of light laying the field down, and I brought it into my movie. I got permission to use it. And I looked at my editor when we finished the whole first crop circle movie. It's called The Wake Up Call. Anybody listening? And we're almost done with the edit, and I look at my young editor, and I had no idea what I was saying. I said, reverse that footage for me. He said, why? And I said, just run it backwards. I don't know. And he said, well, how slow? I said, 30 degrees, 30%. I don't know, 30-something. So he slowed it down 30%, ran it backwards, and right between the two balls of light, there's a line of communication right between those two balls of light before the field goes down. These two balls communicated. Now, who am I to find this? I'm nobody. I don't know what I'm looking at, but I'm listening to instruction, very much like your work, right? You know, we do what we're told. We go with our intuition, and when things feel like they should be shared, you know, it just happens so quickly that I just kept seeming to say yes. And when I saw this line between the two balls of light, I screamed. I mean, I was just stunned. And because I was listening and willing to do what I was being told, for some reason now, in 3 years, with no training, I've made 4 movies. Full feature. And the last two have been winning awards at the International UFO Conference, which is a pretty tough crowd. I love everybody. It's all the people I've ever seen on CNN or books I've read or seen in anybody's movies. They meet once a year. And all your listeners. And have you been to the UFO International Conference?
I haven't, no.
You haven't?
No.
Do you go to many conferences, or do you stay quiet with your work?
I say quiet most times.
Yeah? Do you do public speaking?
I wouldn't mind going, but there you are.
Well, you know, it's 800 people from all over the world. They come in from many different countries. And it's the big people that do the TV shows in different countries. Jaime Maussan from Mexico. We get people. It's really a wonderful blend. And here I am, the newbie. I don't really know what I'm doing, and I don't mean to act as if I'm ignorant. What I am is somebody who seems to have been put on a path and given a whole lot of help. I'm a creative artist. I make great music, but this movie thing, it was like everybody that needed to be interviewed showed up right there in front of me. But
that's
I was
wonderful.
In the crop circles. Yeah, I was in the stone formations. I was in all the sacred locations with a huge movie camera and a tripod, happened to have. So, you know, the people that come there are not your average people. Pretty much anybody you talk to in a crop circle, in my opinion, is going to be somebody well worth talking to.
Yeah.
My problem when I go in without... Yes?
Right. Are you saying that where these two balls of light appeared, that when you were running the film forward, you couldn't see the lines of communication at all?
I don't believe so.
No.
When we brought it to the attention and we ran it slowly, you could very, very quickly, you'd have to slow it down a bit, though, I think. I can't even imagine. I think when we ran it forward, yes, you can see it. But you didn't notice it initially until it was brought to your attention.
Now, why
and you
do
can't
you
see
think,
it.
Yeah? Why do you think and that you the can't. Authorities are interested in crop circles, and you reported, I believe, that at one time the military were interested, and you saw their helicopters flying around.
Well, all of us in the formations are serious researchers, and the helicopters are flying over us quite a lot all the time. Frankly, when we're in crop circles, we'll see at least one flyover. Sometimes it's the people shooting photos for their calendars or whatever. Sometimes it's the military. Until last year, I didn't know the difference because my interest is to not go into that energy. For me, though, last year when I was filming, actually 2008, I was doing a fabulous shoot. I was in a formation in the middle of nowhere. You had to crawl through the brambles to get in. I asked a gentleman to help me carry my camera gear in, and I was interviewing a really brilliant woman from Italy. So we're sitting in this formation. I could not believe what a beautiful day it was that there was nobody there. The formation was 2 days old. Typically, all of us over there, which is people from all over the world, we're in them for like, you know, 2, 3, 4 days. The serious people are there first thing in the morning, which is me. I find out from the people that fly over what happened while we slept, and you want to be the first people in there. Then nothing's trampled. But still, all day, for days, the energy is still there, which I can feel 30 feet before getting in the formation. My skin lights up. It's buzzy. But the helicopters, this particular day, I don't know what it was because, again, I don't talk with them. It's not something I'm into, the military presence. But this particular day, a helicopter circled me and this woman for 25 minutes at about 50 feet over our heads. I had to turn the camera off for half an hour, and I just stood there with my arms folded, and she said, you know, don't let them intimidate you. And, you know, I'm like, what the hey? You know, what are they doing? Isn't 5 minutes enough? So, you know, beautiful day. They're just circling us, and it took a very long time. They're hanging things out the side. I don't know if they were guns or cameras, but something was locked on she and I, and it was very uncomfortable. I actually had to leave for a few days. It made me personally uncomfortable because I'm there for a different reason. I don't want to be dealing with authorities or causing trouble or fighting with the researchers because some people, you know, it's there's generous people that want to share all their photos, and then there's people that want, you know, it's like anywhere else on the planet. Right. But being there is such a great honor that everything else is really optional, you know.
Right.
Just the honor of being a human, choosing to take yourself there and walk in a crop circle, what a gift. But to bring it to the world on camera, what a gift for the world that these circle makers are giving all of us.
Right. And what is the message do you think that the crop circles are trying to pass on to us?
Well, good question. I think, you know, of course, every year there's different messages. But I think the main reason that they're doing it in the fields is because this is the first physical manifestation of communications that humans can see on a large scale. When they're put in a field of wheat for acres, unless the farmer mows it down, they have 2 months, 3 months of having that formation be seen by the world, thanks to the photographers, the filmmakers, whoever gets those images to the screen. And what it is believed about the crop circles is that they are giving humanity subconscious information. They are downloading DNA activation through the images of the crop circles in sacred geometry. They're giving us this subconscious information that I believe is helping us evolve. When I look at the formations of last year, there were a number of them of fish, the oceans. They were swirling. They were chasing each other's tail. There were lots of large squid. And we know that there was that freak bunch of squids that came out of the ocean in California in America. We had a very odd discovery last year, and it was, interestingly enough, presented in the crop circles before they started beaching. There was also a number of bird formations last summer, and there was also Mayan, beautiful Mayan tapestries, headdresses. These formations are like pieces of art. When you look at a photo, sometimes you're thinking, that cannot be wheat. That's a gorgeous painting. And it's actually, you're looking at a field of wheat. I mean, these formations that are coming down in the last few years, I think they're stepping up their game. We're seeing shadowing in three dimensions. And I want to mention to all of you that would like to see that footage, by the way, of the balls of light, on my website, I show it on both of my crop circle trailers, which anybody can look at for free 24 hours a day. My website is www.pattygreer.com, PattyGreer.com. And I want to mention also that all the crop circles in the world that are documented are available on the CropCircleConnector.com, fabulous worldwide site for crop circles.
Right. That's very nice that you've given people that link there.
Well, I use them every day.
What is it you think that we're being called to wake up to?
Well, I think that, for instance, what we just spoke of, the birds, the fish, what's happening, I believe, the overall big picture for me is that humanity has forgotten about the earth that we live on. We have taken it past the tipping point, and I believe that that's why we're starting to get this ET interaction. We've taken it past the tipping point, and I believe we have an agreement that they're not going to come in and interfere, but they can give us clues as to how we can take responsibility and clean it up ourselves. But I think, and I really want to hear your opinion because I know that you have great communications, I'd like to know what you think about, do we have a long time here before they're going to present themselves, or do you think we've got any minute they're going to show up and say, come on, you guys, you're just too lame here. You need help. What do you think's coming? I'm curious.
Well, I believe, and I know you know about ascension, but I don't know exactly what it means to you, but I believe that by the end of 2012, we will have risen up quite a lot in our levels of consciousness, and we're being prepared for that time now. So I think that all these occurrences, like the crop circles, perhaps seeing the spaceships in the skies, are telling us that at that time, when we rise up into a higher dimension, we're going to meet our brothers and sisters from space. And all of this activity and the messages they give are to that end, to prepare us for that event. That's what I feel, to give a very straightforward answer.
And do you see us walking on the planet after this big event comes down?
Well, my understanding is that there will be a new Earth as we rise up. So also will the Earth. So there will be a new Earth, cleared of all the pollution and the rubbish and the concrete and everything else that wouldn't exist in a high vibration. Nothing of the lower vibrations can actually lift up with the Earth. That's what I believe.
I love it.
What is your view of ascension, though? What does it mean to you?
Well, I have been in the being awakened from 2 to 5 a.m. all the last few summers, where I wake up and I go, what is this? I mean, talk to me. You know, all the little, the sweats at night when I'm done with that, you know, it's like all the odd little things. And interestingly enough, I hardly want to admit this, but I'm on the side of the highway because I was traveling, and I wanted to do your show. So at quarter up, I pulled off to the side of the highway. So I'm sitting here literally on the side of the road doing the radio show for an hour. I'm finding that those of us that have been asked to do the work, to give the information to the masses, we're really being asked to do an important task lovingly. And my movies, which I have so loved doing, have been complete joy because I'm hanging out with people that are just completely inspiring me. My jaw is always hanging open. But I feel the shift within me on a regular basis. When I pulled the car over here on the side of the highway, I had three of the strangest transmissions. And I was like, my God, is this Mike Quinsley? Is this me? I couldn't even tell if it was within or outside myself, but I'm going through these recalibrations where my body just starts to shake for a minute and I feel different afterward.
Right.
So I know that my willingness, I think that part of hurting my hands was to pull me out of the world as I knew it, was to pull me out of all that addiction that I had to the city and my friends and stuff and things and, you know, all the elegance of decadent living, which is really so unreal. And it's what we're now having to pretty much sacrifice moving into the new earth is going to be going back to nature, going back to loving the planet. And that's what I'm feeling the crop circle circle makers are giving us. They're reminding us the fish, the birds, the mushrooms, the trees. They're showing us all these images of nature, and they're also showing us Mayan symbols. Last year, there was the most unbelievable formation, which was an ancient language. Now, I don't know if you saw this one or if your audience did, but this was a formation that came down in three phases. First, it looked like Tocopilla with his instrument, and then it was a Tocopilla with a long, interesting tail, and then a week later, it was a 1,500-foot-long language that nobody had seen in many, 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 many years. And I think they're starting to read it, kind of like, do you remember the crop circles that had the zeros and ones, you know, the binary code, and we were given those messages. That was in the, 80s or 90s. Beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises. Much pain, but still time. Believe there is good out there. We oppose deception. Now, that's a heavy message many years ago. They're warning us, obviously, about what we're in today. But what I'm watching is those of us really choosing to be delighting in the light, really having these wonderful transmissions, these evolving lives that are, a lot of people are finding their love mates. This is a year, I actually found my love mate this year. And friends of mine, and some of us have never been in love, hardly. And it's like those of us that have really not assimilated with the right person are really finding our twin flame now. I think that those of us that are really working in the light are being pulled toward the right people, and I think everything else is dissolving before our eyes.
Right. Now, I would like to go back to this question of the crop circles themselves, because I think some are reasonably apparent to most people as to what they're conveying. Others, I guess, mean more to astronomers or maybe scientists. Now, how do people interpret the symbolism in them? Because the average person wouldn't really know what it meant. So are the messages meant for these different three, say, stratas of civilization?
Well, I think that they are given to humanity with the intention of every person looking at them receiving what it is that that person needs. And I say this because I have sat in circles with brilliant researchers over there. When new formations came down, we're standing there at the Silent Circle Cafe. We've all got our coffee, and we're looking at the wall of all the formations that happened. And I pointed, and I said, what is this one to you? And these are very well-known researchers. What is this to you? And all six of us had a different explanation of that very formation. And then I pointed to the next one, and I said, what is this to you? And what is, do you have a name for it? And all of us had a different name for the same formation. So I think that because they are giving us this really advanced information, I believe it's coming into each individual mind at the level that we can receive it. So I think that no matter what formation is sitting in the center of a group of people, you're going to have a number of different interpretations, unless it's binary code that straight out tells you this, or that ancient language that, oh my God, is telling us this. But if I really highly recommend people go look at that ancient language crop circle from last summer, which is on cropcircleconnector.com from last year, it's phenomenal, and they show close-ups. I mean, I actually have it in my brand-new movie, which is Crop Circles 2010 Update the Wake-Up Call. I feature that formation because it is so mind-boggling. And again, I wish I could read these languages, but there are people that are saying, I read the crop circle formations like a book. But again, it's your perception. I saw that formation differently. And when my trailer went up on YouTube, I actually got a letter from, I don't want to say his name because he's a very well-known guy, but he sends me an email, and he got mad at me for turning a crop circle upside down and putting it on my trailer. And I thought, I wrote him back, and I said, with all due respect, I fly a full circle around every crop circle. I don't see an ugly angle. And to me, it sings a song in every direction. So, you know, it's really people's interpretations. But yes, the information that needs to be downloaded is, I think, what's most important. It's going in. I think that the more I can get my photos and pictures and movies into the hospitals and kindergartens and schools, what if we could be feeding humanity everything we need to know on a subconscious level through the sacred geometry of crop circles? There's a good chance that we already have everything we need to know as a species to survive right there before us in the field. We've already been given everything we need to know.
Right.
Therefore, my movie's called Anybody Listening?
Yeah, very good question to ask. Now, do you associate, apart from the man-made crop circles, do you associate the real thing with extraterrestrials in every instance? And where do you think they come from?
I don't have an answer, because I haven't had direct communication like you have. You know what planetary system your friends are from. The crop circle makers are, they're balls of light. And I believe that they are just little satellites coming off a mothership that's a few hundred feet higher, staying out of the visible spectrum so that humanity doesn't freak out. You know, we've been lied to so long that we're not ready. And when it actually happens that, you know, we're told the truth and all the dominoes fall and across the world everybody's looking up to the sky with a whole new respect and looking at the world in a whole new view, it's hard to say what's going to happen, but I think the awe is going to last for quite a while. I just hope the awe is bigger than the panic.
Yes, right.
So I don't know where the circle makers are from, and I don't really feel them communicating, but I do believe that they are downloading the people that are going in the formations that are taking the time. And not everybody, but the people that really go in there with the intention of willing communication. And, you know, here I am, a single girl all by myself at 7 at night, the sun's going down, and I'm walking into a crop circle at night going, like I'm talking to my feet. What am I doing going in here alone? This is crazy at night.
Right.
And I just kept walking. So it's an interesting mesmerization that happens over there, because kind of like, you know, in a hot desert when you've got a cool drink with a lot of ice, it's just like you just want another sip.
Now, with all this evidence around of our, if you like, true heritage, our link with the space people and the messages they're giving us through the circles or through channeling, do you think that we must be very close to what they call disclosure? Because there is a great feeling that this will possibly be made before the end of this year.
You know, my answer to that is we're already in it. You know, I think it's been a long process, kind of like 2012. You know, we're already in it. It's not really an end date when it gets disclosed. It's a series of events that are already happening. In Mexico, full-on disclosure. I interview Jaime Maussan, who runs 60 Minutes TV show over there, and I said, did they let you talk about it on the news in Mexico? He says, it's common knowledge.
Yes.
I met a police officer in Australia. She's with the Inner Circle for 29 years. I said, do you have UFO reportings over here? And she said, oh, Patty, it's common knowledge. So in a lot of places where the awareness is less in the city mode of impressing people and being so connected to cement, I think that when it's more rural, more about the earth, more about nature, that it's already common knowledge. To me, disclosure is old news. You know, it's us fighting them and them lying or us exaggerating or, you know, it's such a game. For me, I'm not interested in the dance. But it is going on. So in my opinion, disclosure has already happened.
Yeah.
And when you go to any place where you put yourself physically as a human body, in a place where there's people that have been abducted, people that are having these experiences, there's conventions everywhere. I think it's a choice for all of us as individuals to say, I choose to know this stuff, so I'm going to go to a place where people talk about it. Or I'm going to go online and read about it, but disclosure is already here.
Yeah.
I think America is behind the eight ball. We're the slowest ones on earth because we've got too much to sell you before you start looking up at the sky. On the other hand, I think most people know because many, many people are having experiences.
Yes. I was going to say, I think the main difference, perhaps, when we talk of disclosure now, is that what we're looking for is the official recognition of the presence of ETs and what they're doing, because through that, it will then mean that other people or other countries will have to reveal what they know, whereas at the moment, there's still a great deal of secrecy about contact with ETs and their sightings and other events. So I think that is the difference. When it's officially acknowledged, then a lot of hidden stuff will be able to be released.
Yes, absolutely. I think if we're waiting to see it on ABC News or CNN, we might grow a few more gray hairs.
Yeah.
But I really think if humanity wakes up in large groups and says, let's meet and talk about this, and let's invite Patty Greer, or you, or Stephen Greer, or any of these people, let's invite somebody who can, you know, show us pictures. Everywhere I go, all I do is meet people that have had these experiences. It's almost like you get a beam on the back of your head, and now you're a magnet to your mates.
Yes.
So, you know, for me, it's not a question, but it is. I have never been on a ship. I have not met an ET. So I don't have that exact experience, but I've been in probably 100 crop circles. I've laid in probably 90 of them with my head in the center and closed my eyes and took some serious time. I mean, I have had the experience, but it's very different than the people that have been on ships.
Oh, yeah.
Again, you know, when people say, well, are the ETs scary? It's like, well, are humans scary? You know, we come in all shapes and flavors. So do they.
Yes.
And so whoever's doing all this hybridizing, you know, all the people that are being abducted that are generously having sperm removed and skin samplings and whatever else, hair and, you know, all this, I don't know what the ultimate race is going to be, but I do believe in the new earth, and I believe in the new paradigm of a divine spiritual consciousness. My 2012 We're Already In It movie focuses all of the attention on the fact that we are already in the transformation of all of this change, and that everything is speeding up so much that by 2012, it's going to be happening so quickly that we will literally go out of our minds. What they're saying with the polarity shift, again, they, just some people, are saying that when the polarity shifts, that we will have this fluid move from our pineal gland into our brain, which will create almost a hallucinogenic state for all humanity. Now, this is a very interesting concept. I've heard it a number of times. I kind of like the thought of when we actually go through the transmission or the transcendence, it would be lovely if we could be kind of tripping rather than experiencing an earthquake or a volcano or something. So the work that all of us really need to be doing is the Ascension program. And I am looking at my life, and even though my hands are kind of screwed today still, I'm so grateful because this has pulled me out of the life that I was leading, which wasn't going to take me to where I want to be by 2012. As I look at what's going on in the physical plane right now, this very month, I've had three different large organizations financially jack my personal finances. And I actually find it humorous now, it's not funny at all, that there's no hope. And there is hope if we can watch our focus. So I'm finding every day that I don't want to be frustrated by the fact that, oh my God, somebody else forgot to tell the truth to me. Instead, I'm looking at what my life really is today, what is working, what is flowing, and I'm realizing that I'm having lots of these transmissions, lots of these feelings where my body is shifting into a different vibration, but I also realize that I've made four movies almost semi-consciously that are talking about information that's really, I think, going to help humanity evolve. It didn't really come from me. I just assisted. But it's really wonderful to be a part of it, because this is what lightworkers need to be doing to get us off this tipping point and really to be pushed in the direction of the divine humanity that we are offered.
Right. I'd like to ask you a question about the conventions you go to. What, if anything, has really impressed you in the evidence that's come up?
I think because I'm such a glutton, I call the UFO International Conference, what do I call it? A crash course in UFO realities. I mean, 14 hours a day, if you don't fall asleep in any of the lectures, that's an awful lot of information to bump in your head. I didn't fall asleep once. And the only time when there was a film showing that wasn't mine, or that was something that I didn't really want to sit in, like Heavy Conspiracy, I'm not putting in my brain, thank you very much, I would go into the abductee circle. Now, this is 30 people sitting in a private room. They all agree, no press, no cameras, no recording devices, no gossip, and you're not invited in unless you've had experience with ETs. It's a phenomenal room full of people, most of them telling the truth, and it's pretty damn convincing. And now I've done two films where I've interviewed a lot of people that have had experience with ET contact, and I'm looking at them. I'm really trying to see if there's somebody loopy in there. I believe that the UFO conference is probably the cream of the crop of the most advanced, intelligent people. I don't mean that conference in particular. I mean all of us doing this advanced work. I don't think we're a bunch of loony 1% of the planet. I think we are the gift that the ETs are using between them and humanity. They've chosen people to do the work because they're not going to come and show themselves and scare the crap out of Earth. Earthlings. That's just a thought. This is, you know, I haven't been told. I don't claim to channel, but I do make these movies really quickly. So, you know, I find it all very interesting that we are being gifted DNA upgrades. We are being gifted skills so that we can bring this information forward to the masses. You know, I think they know what they're doing. I think it's a perfect divine plan, and I think it's coming about in perfect divine order.
Yes. I'm very pleased you said that, because I think it should be lifted up to a level where you can understand the spiritual implications of what is taking place.
Yes. Oh, God, yes. Well, you know, the opportunity that we have as humans to be in nature, in love, and in kindness is so great. Part of my ascension package that came with the, sorry, we're going to take your fingertips for a while, but we're going to give you these other gifts. I met a man off the wall who came and took me out of the city, not only took me, but brought a trailer to make sure that he got all my stuff, and moved me up to the most beautiful place in the mountains of Colorado, up close to 10, 11,000 feet, all trees, no people, views of snowy high peaks everywhere, and the wind blowing. Lots of birds, lots of bunnies, but my life, because I have been through so many financial surprises and not gotten mad, not gotten even. Instead, I've said, well, isn't that interesting? I need to be less a part of this than I ever have been. So as I keep pulling out of my life as I used to do it, which was being real popular, having a store on the downtown mall for 18 years, knowing everybody in town, to my phone doesn't ring, I love it. I'm with somebody who is so honest and so integral, who loves me in the new paradigm energy. So every day I wake up and I'm like, I can't believe my life. I have so shifted. And I'm not saying this as a brag at all. I'm saying this as a blessing. I cried for the first few years. This was really a hard transition. But now that I think I'm on the other side of the tunnel and I'm in the flow rather than the fighting what I can't have, I'm saying, what is it that's working? So even though I just learned 2 days ago that my mortgage company had a bad employee that sold all of my personal information and a ton of other customers' personal information to a third party. So basically, my identity was just sold, which is very interesting. Instead of really flipping out and crying, I had to look across the room at this beautiful being in this home with an unbelievable view in this place that is so peaceful and say, you know what? Even though I might have just lost who knows what, this is a beautiful world.
Yes.
And I want to take my mind every day and look at it first thing in the morning as a meal that I'm preparing. So I get up, I walk to my computer, and I've got all these emails from all over the world. I've got my conspiracy friend in England with really bad news about chemtrails or really bad news about mind control, and I'm like, not today. Probably not tomorrow.
Right,
I'm building an organic, let me have the live sprouts, let me have the good food, the stuff that's going to make my body healthy. Let me read, Mike Quincy. Patricia Cota Robles. Let's go to the light. Let's take our morning first thoughts to gratitude. So here I am. I was really trying to drive fast enough to get to the Garden of the Gods to do this show, but instead I barely made it past the prison of Colorado, like the monster prison. It's just like 5 miles behind me, but I wanted to be where I had 4 bars to do your show. So where I'm pulled over, it kind of reminds me of what I'm saying about my beautiful life up at 10,000, 11,000 feet. I'm pulled over on the side of the highway. To my left is cars and trucks, but to my right is a field of yellow flowers and little groundhogs playing, and actually there's a couple kissing right over there, probably mating any minute. But, I have a choice every moment with my mind to choose to think of something of the light.
Yes.
And there's so much else offered. And every time my phone rings or one of those emails comes in which, oh, by the way, we just stole your Amazon sales. That was this week, too. I mean, I've had the week from not heaven. But I look at the good things in my life because, God, life is beautiful. And I think that with all the criminal theft that's going on now in the world because of all the financial desperation, we're going to see a lot more of it. The most important thing that I can stress, if I can, which I did to my daughter yesterday, is no matter what's going on, find something you love and focus on that instead. Even if it's a shoelace. Even if it's a blade of grass, if we spend our time being angry at the fact I just got robbed again, that's my day. And I don't want that day. So I'm choosing every moment to really work my thoughts carefully, and that's why I like doing radio shows. Even though I know all that other stuff that I learned at the events, that's not what I'm putting in my morning salad.
Yeah.
It's not what I'm going to talk about on the air. And when those helicopters
I think it's wonderful that you can actually look at life
zoomed over
way,
us for 25 minutes
and be grateful for what you have rather than what you maybe are losing.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. That was actually an exercise I had forgotten about, and I did it again this morning. Right when I woke up, I lay there and I thought of my three most favorite things that I wanted to say thank you for, and I lay there and I said thank you. And I don't know what it is about three, it's the number of change and transformation, but when I do things, when I do ritual, when I say so be it, I do everything in threes.
Yeah.
When I showed the balls of light laying the crop circles down in my movie, I showed it three times. When I reversed it, I showed it three times. Now, not to insult humanity or the masses, but my job is to get everybody to really see what's going on. These balls of light are creating the crop circles. They're having a communication, which is the pattern is agreed upon. Boom, the field goes down. It happens that fast. And then a third ball of light came over and checked the formation. But those two balls of light communicated. I mean, it's really impressive that this is all available. Every single person on the planet could know everything they want to know if they just rent the right movies, if they watch the right TV shows, if they eat the right food so they can live long enough to know what's about to take place. But we have opportunities, and unfortunately, the TV, the general news, is feeding us things that are not really true. the things that are really true that we want people to know, we're having to do behind closed doors at these events, with helicopters flying over us or whatever else is chasing somebody. That's not my life. I don't want it to be. But I know that I feel, when I step into a crop circle, like one of the luckiest people on the planet. And the wonderful thing about me going in there and taking all these pictures is that every single person sitting at home has the opportunity to look at this sacred geometry, at these beautiful images of crop circles, and take in whatever it is that they are giving us. I think if it was not a benign race, we would be seeing ugly formations that would be scary monsters. These are beautiful workings of art. And again, I want to say, I have probably 50 crop circles on each movie trailer. I don't know, maybe 10 or 20, but my movie trailers are free. www.pattygreer.com. You should really be looking at these pictures. These crop circles are out of this world. And they are so meticulous and magnificent. And when I can feel them 20, 30 feet before I even get in it, I can tell you there's something going on that is not of this world. And I've heard 20 different explanations of how they're happening. Everybody's got a different interpretation. And I present many of them in my films. For me, I think it's as simple as these beautiful beings are trying to grace us with what we need to know to evolve as a species. And I really believe they're giving us everything we need to know if we would stop shooting guns and sit down and just listen.
Absolutely.
At the beginning of my 2012 movie, I give this advice: stop, look, and listen. I mean, really, it's so simple what it is that's going to help us make it. But no matter what, the planet is evolving. No matter what is going to happen, but humanity has the opportunity to tip our survival rate one way or another with our consciousness. And that's why I'm doing a lot of radio shows. I mean, if I, even if I'm having a really rough day, I'm not going to talk about it, because that's not what I want to be thinking, feeling, or sharing. Because every thought, word, feeling, and action ripples out from us, and it goes out to so many people. Especially if we're talking on the air, or making a CD, or, God forbid, writing a movie, those words that we put out there affect a lot of people. So when we talk about the light, when we bring people into a higher consciousness, you know, if each one of us does that and asks our friends to be contagious with it and spread it around, this is what's going to help us evolve. And I believe in us. I say we're going to make it.
I must say there are some countries outside of the US and Europe that are very much into acknowledging the existence of ETs, and I read only today that about a year ago in Kazakhstan in Central Asia, they are building the world's first alien embassy. And I think that's quite something. It shows that in some countries they are quite happy to acknowledge the presence of ET, so I think that's a very good step forward. I'd like to see it done in other countries.
Wow, an alien embassy?
Yes, they've got a UFO landing pad, they'll have a checkpoint, and they said the facilities will include a guest house, theatre, you want to get your films in there, and a translation
Please.
Service. Yeah, so...
Well,
that's wonderful.
I tell you, I am... I'm in kind of a holding pattern right now with my movies, and I'm really looking for a push over the hill. I have, I'd really like to start seeing them get into theaters and get out there into the world, and it's a really interesting business to try and be successful in. For me, it's not about success, but I have spent $100,000 of my life savings, and now I'm halfway into my fifth film, and I had to physically stop. I just said, until there's some kind of support other than me, it's a really expensive hobby to have. And I like to look at it as a business, but there's so many cutthroat people that offer to help you and then they end up stealing your business. I just have, it's been a nightmare, unfortunately, financially. Making movies cannot be about making money. I played music for 40 years. It was never about making money. you know, those of us that are true artisans, we have to do it from our heart and just be willing to give it out. So this week has been my ultimate ascension test, where I had two stabs, and it was just like, I just looked at it and went, well, isn't that interesting? And then I looked back at my beautiful life.
I want to ask you something, because we're getting near the end of the program, unfortunately. It's been whizzing along here. You did say in one of your emails to me that you were heading back to England for the 2010 crop circle season. Now, is that, have you been or are you coming later? What's the score then?
Well, the first crop circle of the year was on the 5th of May. We had our first crop circle 2 days ago, and I mean, I was squealing. But yes, I'm going over. I go over almost every summer. In the past, I stayed 9 weeks. I was like something that grew on the wall there. I'd never left, and it was awesome, and that's how I made 4 movies. This year, I'm going with my gentleman friend, and I'm just going to go on a vacation. And as we're driving, I'm saying, please tie my hands. Do not let me bring the movie camera. I don't want to make another crop circle movie. It's really an interesting place to be where I'm at right now. You know, I've really seen the dark side of the business world, but the light side of the movies that I make, I just have to keep on the path of, you know, I've got 4 beautiful films. I'm going to stay dedicated to get them out. But the movie that I would really like to finish, the one that I'm working on now, is for children. And it's called The Fairy Kingdom of the New Paradigm. It's narrated by my friend's dog, Pumpkin Rascal, and the dog literally talks. But she starts talking, and then Isabel Kingston's voice comes through her, and Isabel is a channeler in England, brilliant psychic. Oh, my God, she's amazing. And she does the most exquisite monologue about the fairy kingdom, but you're looking at a telepathic dog telling you the story. I've got deer that talk and elk sing. I've got foxes that 3 different times when I went to shoot flowers, foxes came up to me and my camera. I have a thing with wildlife, so this movie was easy. Everywhere I go, I'm fearless with them, so they're fearless with me. So I've got amazing wildlife footage, and they're all pretty much telepathic, brilliant speakers that are telling children how to make it into the new world. We're talking about going on a hike, and look at that plant there. You can eat that, and you can eat this plant, and why would you cut the dandelions out of your garden? Do you know how much food is in a dandelion? You can eat this part, and you can boil this for tea, and, I mean, I've got fairies telling you so many amazing things, and it's really a subliminal information of how to survive as we move into the new earth. And the message is, we have to get back to nature. We have to get back to nature. We have to farm the land. We have to kiss the land. And we have to honor the land. And I think that's where humanity has gone astray. The greed is a whole other chapter. It's about forgetting our connection with the mother. And that's what we're coming back to in 2012, I believe. And I believe that we are moving into a time of great higher spiritual consciousness. And all of this stuff that's happening now is coming to the surface to be healed. You know, it's a cleansing of all that dark, dishonest, dis and evil energy. It's all coming to the surface to be healed.
I absolutely agree with you, Patty. And I'm going to have to say that it's been a terrific interview with you. You certainly know your own subject extremely well. I think you're the first person I've had on who's been so well informed on crop circles. But I'm going to have to leave you now to announce next week's guest tonight, listeners. So thank you again for coming onto the program at such short notice. It was really great.
Well, it's a great honor to meet you. Thank you, Mike. Take care. And everybody, keep your eyes to the skies.
Thank you. Right, my friends, that was terribly interesting, and I thoroughly enjoyed talking with Patty. Next week, I've got Linda Howe, who is the founder of the Center for Akashic Studies, and she's recently published a book, How to Read the Akashic Records. So that will be something unusual again. So thank you for being with me today, and I do hope you can make it next week. God bless you all. Thank you.